I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello and welcome to the Internet Marketing Podcast brought to you by Site Visibility. I'm here with Michael McPherson, co-founder of The Purpose Led, and we're going to be discussing bringing better choices to shoppers on Amazon. Welcome to the podcast, Michael.
Thanks, Scott. Good morning.
Good morning. Do you want to take a moment to introduce yourself to our listeners, describing what you do at The Purpose Led?
Absolutely. And thanks for the opportunity to do so. So The Purpose Led is an Amazon agency specifically targeting those who are ethical, sustainable, and purpose-led brands. We were founded on over 10 years of experience building and subsequently selling our own brands. And we built a team around that experience. And the decision to support eco brands was really our own shopping preferences and an acknowledgement that ethical, sustainable, and purpose-led products weren't as prevalent on the platform. You know, Amazon was always a buy lots of it and get it quick and perhaps get it cheaper. And there weren't as many brands that you'd find in some of your local independent stores. And we wanted to help brands get on the platform and reach more customers by doing so.
And so I'd consider your business name fairly bold. And I think that you'd be tested on your own purpose quite a lot. Talk me through the decision about how you actually landed upon the name. Was it a difficult one?
Oh, absolutely. It was. We were actually founded, so both myself and my co-founder, under a different name, which is Morzin, which is a combination of our children's name.
Oh, nice.
We met as our firstborn were at a baby group together, and our partners met, and then the two dads became friends. So that was the calculation for the original business name, and that is the limited company which we operate. And as we defined ourselves, once we figured that we wanted to support the brands that we do, it made sense from the purpose of it is really the brands that we support as much as ourselves. So yes, there was many iterations of what the name was. And we do often get asked about, well, you do exclusively work them and what do you do as a business? So we have various, we're part of ecology and, you know, we support many different aspects of running a business as we would like to, but we're a small operation in comparison to our clients. So it's a lot easier for us to be doing the right things and ticking the right boxes as a marketing agency, as opposed to people who are building products. But we exclusively work with those types of brands. And yeah, the purpose-led has been well received. We get more understanding and recognition than challenges.
Has there been a moment that's really tested your brand purpose and the name The Purpose-Led? So something that's caused you real kind of moral dilemma of some sort?
Certainly. I think when we've had inquiries and looked at working with potential clients who don't fit within our own values and that which the purpose-led represents, even people who are sort of part or halfway on the journey, they're founders, and most of the people that we work with are founder operated, and they're always passionate. And you see people that you want to support that perhaps don't fully fit the sustainability credentials that we'd like to align with in terms of brands. So there have been a number of occasions where we've had to say we're just not the right fit. And commercially, as from a revenue perspective, we're effectively turning away business. So we have to stay true to the brands that we want to represent, even if that means at the cost of us incurring more revenue and, you know, stunting our potential growth as well as a business. So yeah, those have probably been the most significant decision points. But each time we've been collectively as the founders and people in the team, we've been happy with the decision to stick true to it, because, you know, months later, it's turned out that, you know, there's been a different opportunity that's come along that's much more aligned with the type of brands we want to work with.
What kind of questions do you ask of prospects to best understand their purpose?
Well, often, as I say, when people are founder operators, the one thing that you're certainly not short of is people sharing their passion about the product and how it's made and the ingredients and where it's sourced and every aspect of their product, because they're so proud of them. And often when they are value led rather than entirely commercial, you know, a commercial operation, you know, taking a product to market purely for profits, when purpose is at the forefront, that those are the people who are most vocal about what makes them a purpose led brand. So often we're able to make the analysis just on site, reviewing the brands, what type of accreditations they've got, where are they on the market, you know, their stories on their own collateral. But then when you speak to them, it's abundantly clear for anyone who's truly purpose driven to share the reasons why. Yeah, that's, I think for us, when the product from a manufacturing, where it's sourced is important, because often, you know, we can have the right ingredients, we can have the right branding, but, you know, when you do scratch on the surface a bit more, you realize that the manufacturing is outsourced and it's off elsewhere, and perhaps that supply chain isn't quite as value based as the founder. So there's probably a little bit of digging we can do and do.
What are the accreditations that you look for? That's really interesting to me. And a little bit of context for you is that we have that debate in our company. And in general, just being on the podcast and speaking to people, I'm noticing over the years how the accreditations that people look for to help better understand the purpose, the values of a business have changed. So a while back in our company, some people might have asked us, or we might have asked them, about ISO standards. I think you mentioned at the beginning the company Ecology. I know people are looking at B Corps now. What do you look for?
Well, B Corp is definitely gaining a lot of traction, and that is one that's across categories. So you've got many, many category-specific accreditations and awarding bodies that you want to look out for. But B Corp is certainly getting a lot of publicity. I know for a fact, because I've gone and seen some of our clients go through the certification process of becoming a B Corp, it is very, very time-consuming. It's very thorough. So that is certainly a good stamp of approval. And then you can go further and look into those category specific ones. Say, for example, if you're looking at something like the Soil Association, that is again quite specific in the requirements you need to meet. So yeah, it's a mixture of B Corp is certainly a good starting place. And the effort brands have to go through and the hoops they have to jump through to get and to be certified is a good one. But then there's category specific ones as well. And it's worth saying, Scott, that it's not just accreditations. It's not all encompassing.
Yeah, no, I understand that. So a company can have an accreditation, but as you drill down further, as you speak to the people in the company, you might still find that the values of those people don't necessarily match your business and what you're looking for. Is that kind of what you're saying there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And the reason why we have to be, the reason why we're focused on it, In reality, Amazon is a search platform. And if you're looking for, we always say, I'm not sure where this originated from, but someone would go to Google and ask a question and then go to Amazon with the answer. So from a search term perspective, you know, you're looking for a body oil or a pet food. You know, you're quite specific in what you're searching for. And therefore, from our perspective, there's a finite number of brands that we would work with that would be competing within category. If we onboard someone that's sort of halfway, sort of 75% of what we would perceive to be ticking the boxes, we may well be missing out on the other options who are truly purpose-led in their values.
Before we move on, I don't know much about ecology, but I keep seeing ecology pop up and I'm yet to research it myself. So if you're able to, are you able to share what your involvement with ecology is and who they are?
Yeah, absolutely. So ecology are, and there are many, you know, different iterations. There's no association or means for me to sort of plug them as, yeah. As a preference. But as your CO2 emissions are offset, it's all calculated on the site. And then they'll plant trees on your behalf. So it counts in employee numbers. It counts in a number of different metrics to look at the CO2 emissions and then offset that by planting trees, and you get awards and what have you. Right. And as I say, there are many different versions of these, and certainly in the last 24 months, more and more have cropped up. But it's a stamp of intention, I think. And yeah, I think it's certainly something that if you're not familiar with, it would be worth having a look into.
It sounds like a positive initiative to get involved with. And I've made a note as you were talking to try and get them on the podcast to talk to them about what they're all about.
Absolutely. Yes, definitely do that. Yeah. I can do an introduction actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. And all of this said, I'm interested to know whether you think that a purpose-led brand can still sell on Amazon. And I think you know where I'm coming with this question is that I've spoken on this podcast before about consumers, friends, colleagues, peers, conflicts in shopping on Amazon, this trade-off of loving the convenience but hating what Amazon maybe represent as a company and their values. Do you think that you can still be a purpose-led brand and sell on Amazon?
Yes. And I think this discussion comes up probably more frequently than in any other, both with new to us and existing clients. So Amazon as a platform, it certainly does have its own stigma. Yeah. And to some extent, that's why a lot of brands that we are sort of referring to as fitting into that purpose-led definition, you know, the sustainability focused ones, they have either been cautious of it as a platform or avoided it, you know, intentionally with no plans to list there at all. So there's been an inherent lack of brands of that nature on there. However, certainly through the pandemic, when retail was limited in terms of bricks and mortar, and consumers went online, Amazon came out on top as one of the main destinations for people to go on the platform, and that meant people who perhaps hadn't gone on there before, you know, they weren't already prime shoppers, and Amazon was as much the brands that we were talking about sort of avoiding it, those particular consumers were avoiding it as well. So you saw a huge influx of all sorts of people on the platform. And then at some point it becomes an undeniable, this is where your customers are shopping. Right. Not all of them, of course, but a good number of them. And when you're a purpose-led brand, it's about increasing visibility. And much like, you know, utilizing Google search or using social media via Facebook, which obviously is Instagram as well. All of these big tech companies have some question marks, but they allow you as a brand to increase your visibility. And I think while that is a little bit of whataboutery, Amazon is making moves more recently to improve its image, certainly with regards to sustainability and its climate pledge and all these initiatives that it's doing, which should increase some confidence for purpose-led brands. But at the end of the day, and this is why we still have a discussion with existing clients about it, as a channel, there is an undeniable demand on there for purpose-led brands. And if you're not there, then you're missing out on the opportunity to reach customers. Customers which may well convert to, and most of the time end up converting to your website. That's certainly what people would like to happen. And Amazon turns out to be a marketing tool and an entry point into your brand that they might not have seen otherwise.
Yeah, it's such a challenging question. So I appreciate your answer on that one. I understand the business difficulty as well. And, you know, I imagine that you have some people that come to you and have either a zero tolerance or near zero tolerance kind of attitude towards Amazon, Facebook and big corporations, particularly big tech companies. I imagine that you have the happy medium customers, the people that are probably say kind of exactly what I just said. Hey, we're a purpose-led brand, but you know, it's really going against our values, feeling like we're selling on Amazon, selling on Facebook. So how do we do that, I guess, responsibly is the question or challenge you might get.
Yeah, and I think that responsibly, how to sell on Amazon responsibly, you know, there are things like you wouldn't, perhaps not selling single units of a product. Therefore, you're sort of thinking of it, the shipping cost involved and all of the background activity that would go into getting the product into the customer's hands. There is, you know, there's certainly an ethical question around whether that makes the most sense. So there is definitely ways that you can be more responsible listing on Amazon. But another factor, which I probably should have mentioned, when it comes to Amazon, which makes it a little bit unique in the tech space in terms of big tech companies, is we also have people who have avoided Amazon, but you know, anyone can sell on Amazon through its third-party seller platform, which means you or I could set up a business and purchase stock from a brand, and then you could sell that stock on Amazon, or you could purchase it from a distributor, or, you know, there could be one step removed from yourself and the brand, and then you can go and sell on Amazon. So people are able to sell on Amazon effectively without your permission. So another part of the puzzle for purpose-led brands is having people sell their products and not misrepresent, but certainly underrepresent them on the channel in terms of anything from incorrect titles, incorrect messaging, old branding, and you're sort of there anyway. So if from a shopper perspective, the shopper may not be making the link, or your consumers who aren't on Amazon, but maybe they've looked on there and they see you're on there, and that impression point, you don't want to direct association with Amazon as a platform, but you're there anyway. And not only are you there anyway, but you're there and you're poorly represented. And I think that's probably another big part of the discussion that we have with brands that are very resistant, because they don't necessarily support the channel, but they want to make sure that their story, their brand story, the brand experience, the packaging, everything is done as it should be, as opposed to sort of being left to third parties.
I appreciate this is a test of your product recall abilities, but I was thinking here, it's one thing to already be an established company and then decide whether to expand your offering via Amazon or third parties, but it's completely different to start up a new brand from scratch on Amazon and actually have that be a purpose-led brand. Can you recall any companies that have actually built themselves up from scratch on Amazon that you would consider to be purpose-led?
Oh, yeah. Funny enough, plenty. So when a brand is sort of in a piece with going on Amazon, then it can be a very useful channel for new brands and startups. So, you know, it is a platform, is very focused on startup and small business entrepreneur. They've got various accelerator programs that they'll try and encourage and invest in small businesses, which is all very positive. But the one glaring and obvious fact for anyone who has tried to get their product into retail as a new business is it can be very challenging. And often, you know, the terms are far less favorable for that new brand, that new product, without any evidence of sale. Whereas going on Amazon, those barriers don't exist. So we've seen brands in all sorts of categories who are very much purpose-led and have used Amazon as a channel to quantify their value to the market. So we're now overtaking household names in these categories, and it's opened up doors for them retail outlets that are probably more aligned with you know, Whole Foods and things like that, the type of the type of place they want to be stocked in. So yes, absolutely, brands that utilize Amazon to launch their business, launch their product range, will probably see more success doing so via Amazon in the initial stages, and that'll probably open doors for them, because we've seen it where they were closed before.
And do you have any favorite examples of those brands, whether you've worked with them? You're welcome to share examples of companies that you've worked with, or just examples that you've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll probably take an example that springs to mind that is exactly the follow the exact process that I just described.
Are these one of your clients?
This is one of our clients, yeah.
Okay,
I'm cautious to say favorite because I don't want to to give any favoritism, but
that's funny. Yeah. Agencies, we don't have any favorite clients.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And while any other clients could be listening, yes, this is a sugar brand. It's called Bonrol. I'm happy to sort of give them the plug.
What was the name again? Sorry.
Bonrol. So Bonraw.
Yep.
And Bonrol Food. So they offer natural sugar alternatives, and they source them from single origin farmers. It's, you know, they're a B Corp. They have lived and breathed the process, and they've set this business up. And, you know, they are available in retail outlets, but their Amazon presence certainly improved things in terms of opening those retail doors and increased their popularity. And, you know, if you look at a number of their sugar ranges on the platform, they are now number one. And, you know, they have incredible growth on the platform over the last couple of years, and have used that to validate discussions with retailers. So it's that's a perfect example of a genuine purpose-led brand. I think the founders were ex-FMCD sort of sugar brands, and saw that there was another way to do things, and went and sourced the ingredients themselves, and, you know, built the product range, expanded the product range, and live and breathe finding a better way to consume sweetness. I can't remember what good sweet, that's it.
Yeah. The companies that you've seen that have built themselves on Amazon, is it easier or more difficult for them to then expand their offering and move away from Amazon to grow third-party channels?
Certainly some independents may be wary of a brand that has a strong Amazon presence. Mm-hmm. You know, simply because that's going to, you know, sort of, that's going to be the alternative to people coming into their shops and buying the products. But as I was just saying, with the benefit of doors being opened by you're able to quantify success in the market and sales, more often than not is a net positive in going onto other channels, because you're able to, you know, go and have those discussions with the retailers and say, here's, we're now number one in category here, or if not number one, then you've demonstrated sales track record and growth over this period, and, you know, they're more interested in having discussions with you. So I think retail is, it depends who you're talking to, but certainly people will want to use it to drive traffic eventually to their own website for the most part, because, you know, if you have a direct consumer offering via your website and an e-commerce site, it will inevitably be cheaper for the most part to have traffic come directly to your site. And if you're not having to pay all the shipping costs and all the various different charges that Amazon has, so it's cheaper to have someone as a shopper come to your site and subscribe there than it would be shopping on Amazon. So they can use Amazon as a springboard or launch pad into getting more traffic on their D2C site.
You described some of the characteristics that you look for in businesses when determining whether or not they should sell on Amazon or not. And I was thinking, well, actually, there must also be some purpose-led brands and businesses that you've met who still aren't a good fit for selling on Amazon. And I was thinking to myself, well, what are the characteristics of those businesses? So they're value-driven, they're purpose-led, but they have other characteristics that mean they're not well suited to selling on Amazon. What would those characteristics be?
There's quite a good level of transparency in terms of the supply and demand. Mm. So, and by that, I mean, it's a search platform, so people can go in and see the supply. So if you're a product X in the category, you can go and have a look at what the alternatives will be. But from a demand perspective, there's various software and data available both in Amazon and via third parties to get indicative sales volumes for most products. So you can then see whether or not it's a channel for you. And I think that's what it comes down to. Yes, there may be any particularly heavy goods or large goods from a fee perspective, it's difficult, it's expensive, and it's hard to price that in, and it might not be commercially viable to list on Amazon. But for everyone else, you can make a pretty quick judgment as to the supply and demand on the platform for your types of products and make a decision from there. I suppose the only other consideration is if you are at the premium end, it is a search platform, mm-hmm. and a lot of the shoppers are still heavily price driven, and it's hard when all you can see is an image, a product title, some reviews, and a price point. It's hard to not get people discouraged by a higher price point when there are a lot of cheaper alternatives on there. So, yeah, I think an example to put that into perspective would be VMS, vitamins, minerals, and supplements. And that saw a massive influx of manufacturers or people who brands have, you know, got contract manufacturing, and they've made these products and they've gone onto the platform, and it just became flooded with all sorts of brands. And if you are a purpose-led brand in that space where you have found the best ingredients, you spent years testing, and you know you've got your supply chain, so your cost and price point is going to be that much higher than that of a recent startup doing contract manufacturing and purchasing, you know, lower quality ingredients. Mm-hmm. And therefore, on the face of it, if they are half or a third of your cost, the shopper on Amazon, they're not necessarily placing the value, especially if it's multiples in price, on your purpose, because they don't understand it, because they're only looking at a title, an image, the reviews, and a price point. So you won't even get the clicks. So there are some exceptions to that, but you know, this is more of our internal process. Yeah. We would never go through either encouraging people to onboard on the platform if it just didn't make sense for them. So we always go through an analysis to make sure that the channel is right for them. And we have, you know, very transparent discussions about what we've been talking through, and probably a bit more detail in their specific instance as to whether or not the channel is the right fit for them, because sometimes it just won't be.
So you talked there about the consumer being price driven on Amazon. We know that there are other purchasing behaviors that determine whether someone purchases or not. We talked here about responsibility, trust, purpose. Do you think Amazon does a good job of allowing consumers to search for products and organize products beyond just price? So I'm thinking here about, for example, do you think that Amazon allows consumers to search easily for eco-friendly products, for example?
Well, I'm glad you. Well, so there's a couple of answers to that.
Yeah.
The first one is yes, as of recently, where you can filter in search via their Climate Pledge Friendly.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. One of their own initiatives. So then you can see products that fit within that. But that isn't necessarily foolproof, because you've got all sorts of brands that can get into that. You know, large FMCGs who've developed lines that perhaps fit into the Climate Pledge Friendly category. So it's not foolproof. But beyond that, it's still, as I said earlier, that ask the question of Google, take the answer to Amazon. It's still a search driven platform. So it doesn't provide any filtering for any special filtering for purpose led brands, as it were. But if you're looking for a dietary or organic or vegan or something like that, which might help you separate your and define your search, then obviously you get the results. Mm. I think beyond search, there has been a vast number of improvements in the last probably 2 years, certainly the last 5 years. It's transformed the platform from that, you know, it's buy cheap, buy lots, to a much more brand-driven site. So if you're looking at your listing, so once you go past search, you're able to have a lot more detail to the product pages, which will reflect a lot closer the brand presence on their own website or social channels. So as a purpose-led brand, you're then, once people have clicked through to your product page, you're then able to far better articulate your value proposition, what you stand for, and if you're at a higher price point, you're able to justify that and explain it and educate the shopper. Whereas before, there wasn't much. It was very mechanical. There wasn't much there to get creative. But that's changed a lot, and you'll find now product pages look a lot like, or can look a lot like, brands' websites. So it's you're far better able to present the brand the way you would like, rather than trying to fit in very narrow confines of Amazon templates.
It sounds like you like what you're seeing, but it's taken a little while to get there. Is that fair?
Oh, absolutely. And it's, and it constantly evolves.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's led by what happens in the US, obviously. But they're forever, Amazon is forever sort of testing out different amendments to the platform and changes in search. And, you know, you'll see a new filter here or a new this, and they'll be there for a short time. And, you know, they're able to sort of test live in the platform as it goes. And some of these are announced and some of them aren't. But certainly it's difficult to say it hasn't come fast enough because where's the measure? It has arrived in tune with the demand. So as people are changing their priorities, their purchase priorities, and searching brands that are purpose-led, or whether that be ingredient-led, and or whether that be their priorities are changing, and Amazon is trying to, I suppose, meet with that, whether it be through the initiatives, whether it be through those filters that I mentioned, or the increase in the assets you're able to use on the platform to reflect your site. It's evolved, I think, at pace with trends, which you'd sort of expect, I guess.
In closing, you mentioned product pages a moment ago and brand pages. Going a little bit more granular for the close of this episode, what can these brands do once a consumer lands on your page? Let's assume it's a product listing page. What are the elements that you can utilize that reinforce your purpose? So to reinforce trust, responsibility, and encourage customers to purchase from you.
Absolutely. So I think the first thing to consider is the product images. And these are the, on desktop, these are the things that sit sort of adjacent to the title. And on a mobile, they're the first thing you see. So they are the first education and opportunity point for you to convey your value to the shopper. And more often than not, they're not going to read in detail your bullet points, or which is in the description. However, if you are able to utilize those product images, of which you've got seven that you can play with, if you're able to overlay your messaging within those images, that's got the strongest opportunity for you to educate, because they may not get any further than that. And then beyond that, you have A-plus content, which is a section sort of halfway down the page, which you can then fill with more brand-rich content to convey your value proposition, your purpose. And then beyond that, I'd say the other most important place would be what's called a sponsored brand video. So going back to the search page, and I know you asked me specifically for the product page, but this is definitely an opportunity in search where you've only got your product image, first product image, title, price, and reviews. You are able to add a video in, which is sort of, I think there's a couple on the page throughout page, you know, each page of search, and these break up between search results, and then they play a short video. So this auto plays, and you've really got, I think 45 seconds is a total time for, but no one's ever going to watch 45 seconds of a clip. So you've got a few seconds there to just explain a bit more about the brand. And that then is it's a sponsored product, but that's, and a traffic driver, but that's your first opportunity outside of banners and display to really explain a bit more through the use of video. And as much as we would encourage overlays and explaining the story with copy in your images, do the same in the video. You know, don't just keep it lifestyle and perhaps reformatting video you've used elsewhere. Assume you're only going to have a few seconds to capture attention and explain that message. So, you know, be bold in that and make it stand out, and make sure you can educate.
Michael, it's been a pleasure speaking to you today. If purpose-led businesses out there want to contact The Purpose-Led, let them know where they can find you.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's quite straightforward. It's thepurposeled.com, and you'll be able to find more detail about what we do for brands, some of the brands we've worked with, and our own podcast, which, if it's okay to plug, Scott, then, you know, we interview purpose-led brands. So even if you're not ready for Amazon or you're exploring it, you know, we'd be happy to have a chat with you.
Wonderful. Everything that we've discussed today will be in the show notes. For now, Michael, I just say thanks so much for your time, and this has been the Internet Marketing Podcast. Take care.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.